Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Truly glad to have you on board with us today. Another day for Spiritual Perspectives, where we are going to be taking a look again at grace and justice. I have a question for you. I want to open up with this question. When it comes to justice, is that something that you applaud? Is it something that you dread? When you hear the word justice, what comes to mind? And not only what comes to mind, but what feelings, what emotions do you begin to experience? It probably has a lot to do with who comes to mind when you hear the word justice. So if you are someone who hears the word justice, and as soon as you hear that word justice, you start thinking about someone you don't like, you probably really applaud justice and you want to see it done. You want to see justice meted out. On the other hand, you're thinking, okay, justice. This person has really done wrong and they really deserve to be punished. And I mean punished severely for what they've done. You feel pretty good about justice. But if you're reminded of what you did wrong and someone says justice, how do you respond then? A lot of us are aware of how King David responded when told about the person who had the one little ewe lamb, and that lamb was taken from that person by someone who had so much that it absolutely was just crazy that that person would have taken the one precious ewe lamb that this poor man had. And at first, David wanted that person's head. And then he discovered, when the prophet told him, that person is you. David was no longer enthused about justice being handed down. But on the other hand, he did accept the fact that he deserved to be punished for having done what he had done. And of course, we know that Nathan the prophet was telling him how he had taken the wife of his soldier, his faithful soldier, Uriah the Hittite. He had taken that man's wife to enjoy sex with her. And then when it was discovered that she was pregnant, he had Uriah killed in battle. He was very enthusiastic about justice being handed down until he discovered that he was the one who was going to be treated with justice. But to his credit, he didn't start whining. He didn't start ranting and raving. He humbled himself and accepted the fact that he deserved whatever justice was coming his way. How do we respond when it's our turn to have justice handed down to us because of what we've done? Or if there was something that we should have done and refused to do it, and as a result, negative consequences came about. There's a price to pay for that too. A lot of us are fully aware of sins of commission, sins that we commit, things that we do. We're aware of sins of omission, where we omit. We leave out doing something that we should have done. Justice. Do we get excited when we think about the other race having justice handed down to them? Are we equally excited when we think about the wrong done by our own race? Grace and justice are what we're still studying with regards to God as we get to know him better. And it's still important for us to realize that grace was created by God and justice was created by God. Both are important to him, so both should be important to anyone who is a follower of God. But keep in mind that justice also has more than one side to it. As we shared before, two of the major aspects of justice is that it is the standard by which penalties are assigned for breaking the obligations of the society, but also justice is the standard by which the advantages of social life are handed out, including material goods, rights of participation, opportunities, and liberties. Now, justice presupposes God's intention for people to be in community. When people have become poor and weak with respect to the rest of the community, they were to be strengthened so that they could continue to be effective members of that community, living with them and beside them. Let's take a listen to some scriptures that discuss that in Leviticus chapter 25, beginning at verse 35. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. Do not take interest of any kind from him, but fear your God, so that your countrymen may continue to live among you. You must not lend him money at interest or sell him food at a profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. Notice how God is discussing people who are their own countrymen, the countrymen of the Jews, the Israelites, fell in hard times, became unable to support themselves. He said, help them as you would an alien or temporary resident. Which helps us to know that with aliens, temporary residents, foreigners, people who were living with the Jews, among the Jews, but they'd come from other countries, were to be treated well. They were to be supported so that they could thrive in that community. Isn't it interesting that in a nation where people are called Christian, where we're told that the nation itself is a Christian nation, we have foreigners here, we have immigrants here, and we have so many people who do not want these immigrants to become legal citizens, and they don't want them treated well while they're here, and they want most of them sent somewhere else, even if not to their own birth nation, the nation of their birth. Send them somewhere else. Get rid of them. Get them out of here. And God is saying to his people, that is not the way you're to treat them. You're to treat them well. And then he said, if one of your own falls on hard times, then you treat him as well as you would treat, as you do treat the foreigners, the aliens, the immigrants. We are so far away. We have some of our politicians who are so far off base when it comes to working with immigrants the way God tells us to. And God lets us know that is not justice. They're committing the sin, the infraction of practicing injustice. Justice presupposes God's intention for people to be in community. And when people fall on hard times, people are poor, they're supposed to be helped and supported so that they can still remain in the community and at some point begin, even if possible, to thrive in and with that community. So biblical justice restores people to community. By justice, those who lacked the power and the resources to participate and significant aspects of the community were to be strengthened so that they could participate in significant aspects of the community. That concern in Leviticus 25 is illustrated by the provision of the year of Jubilee, in which at the end of the 50-year period, land was to be restored to those who had lost it through sale or foreclosure of debts. As a result, they regained economic power and were brought back into the economic community. Similarly, interest on loans was prohibited as a process which pulled people down, endangering their position in the community. Yet we have a lot of people in this Christian nation who really long to, desire to, and work hard to make life so hard on the poor, the disadvantaged. And part of the way that they do that is by coming up with payday loan schemes, getting people in debt, charging such high interest rates that the people would be extremely hard-pressed to ever repay those debts. And that's the way those loans are designed. Keep bringing your money to me. Keep bringing your paycheck to me. I'll just give you another loan, another 30% interest loan, 18% interest loan, 25% interest loan, 35% interest loan. And you just keep bringing your paycheck to me until you're able to pay off this loan, this 30% interest loan. Doing that to our poor. And our wealthy politicians write into law the policies that perpetuate that system, making it legal for them to do that. And when we have the better politicians come along and say, we're no longer going to allow you to do that, and they write new laws that prohibit that kind of activity, then the other politicians come back into power, they become the majority again, and they change the laws again to make it again legal for those kinds of slow death economic policies to prevail. Wow, what a system of justice, right? Legal provisions express a further characteristic of justice when they're done right. Justice delivers. It doesn't merely relieve the immediate needs of those who are in dire straits. Take a look at, for example, Psalm 76, verse 9. Feel free, if you're free to do so, to look at it with me, but I'll definitely read it aloud so we can follow along together. Psalm 76, verse 9 says, when you, O God, from heaven, let's start at verse 8, from heaven you pronounced judgment, and the land feared and was quiet. When you, O God, rose up to judge, to save all the afflicted of the land. To save all the afflicted of the land. And remember, we are supposed to be working to rescue the afflicted of the land. You've heard me read that a number of times from Isaiah chapter 58. Let's read Isaiah chapter 45. I mean, it is so amazing that throughout the Old Testament, God makes it clear that we're to take care of the poor and the needy. And yet we have so many people who say they love God who become outraged when they hear someone talking about taking care of the poor, you know, the poor and the needy, trying to help them out of this situation. Isaiah chapter 45, beginning at verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. There are a lot of people who don't believe that God creates darkness. He says he does create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. There are people who refuse to believe that God creates disaster. The Lord says he does all these things. Verse 8, you heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Isaiah 58, beginning at verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice? And remember, situations do not create themselves. People bring about the situations we find ourselves in. People, through bad policy, through negative policies, bring about the situations that they want. Situations that make life miserable for other people, that make the poor, the oppressed, the needy, find themselves in even more dire straits than they're already in. God says, is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? As he speaks to his people who say they love him, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. It's interesting that we can have so many policies in place that can help us do much more good than we're doing for the poor, the oppressed, the needy, the hungry. We hear people talk all the time about the amount of food that we throw away every year that could feed all of the poor, all of the hungry each year. Is it true that we just lack the intelligence to figure out a way to do this? I really don't believe we lack the intelligence. We just have too many people who not only lack the desire and the will, but they have the opposite desire and the opposite will. They want to perpetuate that misery by keeping the people poor and keeping them oppressed and keeping them hungry, keeping them needy. We need to be making sure that we're doing everything in our power to comply with God's word, doing what we can to help instead of to hurt. Let's talk about this some more in just a few.